Jacqueline Magnay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Across the thousands there, I hear.
Yes, look, yes. It's all happening. You're with Maddie Burke, Dean Ritchie, and also Loz from the Gold Coast, live from the Gold Coast. So you've got a full crew, but we've been reading this story to come out about the IAS all week and this investigation of underfunding. I mean, it's a disgrace, really, considering how prestigious this particular organisation was, how dominant we were at Olympic sports, and now, from the report, it seems like a group of people are just completely stuffing it up.
Well, it's a question of priorities, really, because funding the sport has been so tight for so many years, and we're talking really since the Sydney Olympics over the last 20 years. Funding has declined in real terms. And so sports have had to become a lot smarter about how they spend the money. And my beef about all this, when I investigated it with Jess Halloran, who's now joined the Australian, we decided, let's just have a look at the AIS and what is it all about. And we were actually incredibly shocked at the funding priorities. So when you have sports that are cash-strapped, you've got, you know, all these parents remortgaging houses, you've got, you know, barbecues, sausage sizzles, raffles to send elite athletes to the Olympic Games. This week you've got the men's water polo team in Sydney training. They're bunking in, you know, mates' places in Sydney. One guy I know is sleeping on the couch. And this is really not what you would expect in a professional era in the lead up to the Olympics. And so it's all about the priorities. And I was absolutely gobsmacked to find that Peter Condy, the head of the AIS, is on $426,000 a year, and he commutes from Brisbane. Now, you can say sports are spread around the country and it doesn't really matter where someone is based, but when the AIS was the central focus for sport, and you also have senior executive positions advertised as being based in Canberra, they are then relocating and commuting. So it's this fly-in, fly-out situation where the executives are at a real distance from sport. And it's just a travesty. $5 million over the last 2 years spent on recruitment companies. I mean, I just cannot believe. And sports and parents and athletes are also just horrified. I've never had so much response to a story in all my years of journalism.
So let's put that in perspective now with Tokyo coming up. What's our gold medal prediction or our medal prediction, knowing that there is a correlation between funding and the medals?
Well, they're looking at 12 gold medals and to win, you know, about 20 or so medals in total. So it's way down on what we're... Oh, sorry, about 30 medals in total. I mean, it's way down on what we used to be. Sydney Olympics, we targeted 60 medals, 20 of them gold. Mm. And we nearly, you know, got very close to that mark. So in the years since, we've declined in the number of medals. But these Olympics, actually, we might do reasonably well because of the new sports. You look at sports like surfing that have been added to the Olympic program, and we always tend to do well in sports that are not that developed elsewhere in the world. So surfing, we've got a really good chance of picking up a couple of medals there. So there will be a slight, I think, will be on par with Rio or even slightly better. But that's only because there's more medals available to be won.
Jacqueline, you talk about all these issues going on, and at the same time, the AIS is being run down to be sold off, which makes the whole situation even more unsavoury.
I know. I think people still think of the AIS in those glory days that it was a centralised system, it was world class, it invigorated sport in the country, and it was so great that everybody else looked at it around the world and said, hey, we want to copy what you're doing. It's been so successful. And what does Australia do? Instead of kind of building on that, we destroy it. And so now it's been left to run down. The facilities within the Institute, the residences, are a disgrace. It's too expensive. They've changed it from a funding model to sports have to pay to stay. Sports have to pay to access the sports science and medicine. Mm. And sports are now in charge of their budgets, but they can't afford to go to the AIS and take benefit of these facilities. So it's become a white elephant in a sense, but that's because of the funding and the priorities and the way it's being run. It's got nothing to do with sports wanting to be there. And it's now looking that at least half of it's going to be sold off to for housing. And they're saying that the money will be used to then reinvest into sport. But the problem is, where will it be reinvested? And I don't have the confidence that this money is going to be spent that wisely when I'm seeing at the moment that the priorities of spending are so out of kilter with what I think it should be. It should be going to the core of sports, to coaching, to the athletes, to, you know, help them develop. Mm. That was the model that worked 20 years ago. The officials now say, the executives now say, hey, life's moved on, sports have moved on. But you know what? Australian sport is just stagnating. It's not getting any better. We're not matching or beating the rest in the world. Yeah. We're just staying the same.
I think, Jacqueline, Laurie's in our Gold Coast studio for the All-Stars match. Laurie, you've got a question?
Morning, Jack. I was just going to ask you about Israel Folau, the impact that he had on the weekend. Obviously, he made his debut with Catalan Dragons and they had the victory. Seems all is forgiven, is it?
No, but he's been very quiet. He didn't say anything. And I think that the sports officials were pleased about that. But certainly there's a lot of agitation still around that they don't want him involved, but the other clubs fear that he's dragging down the reputation of the code. But I think that disquiet and opposition to Israel will dissipate every single game he plays. There'll be less and less controversy. And people will start to concentrate on his ability and playing skills on the field rather than what he says he's not going to say after a game, because he has promised that he's not going to talk about the issue. So I think over time it will just dissipate.
All right, Jacqueline. Well, we'll talk to you next week. By the way, when we talk to you next week, do some investigation for us on this Indian sprinter, Srinivasa Gawada. He runs faster than Usain Bolt.
He's been towed by an ox, though.
Well,
have you seen it?
Can we get an interview with the ox?
I did see that.
He's been towed by an ox.
Can we get the interview with the ox?
You'd be as quick as Usain Bolt if you got towed by an ox.
It's unbelievable. It's the footage.
He had a little bit of help, but it's in the park run, doesn't it? You know, when you've got your dog on the leash pulling you along. I kind of think that's a little bit...
How do you get the thing to stop anyway? We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.